Today we want to think on the subject of that we might be like Him, or in other words, that we might become more Christ-like. And we're going to look at Colossians 3, 9 through 11. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, we read, "You have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Now, because we are alive in Christ, we must seek the things that are above. And because we died with Christ, we must put off things that belong to the earthly life of our past sin. The result is that we become Christ-like in our lives. God wants us to renew us and make us into the image of His Son. Now, in those two verses we read, that there were two Greek verbs that were translated "put off" and "put on," and they indicate a once-for-all action. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we put off the old life that we were before we were saved and put on the new life. Now, what is the old man or the old life? It doesn't refer to our old sinful nature, because we will always have our old sinful nature, even while we're saved, until we go home to glory. It refers to our life before we were saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." As Christians, we become a new man or a new person. And when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior as about a seven-year-old, I became a new person in Christ. The Greeks had two different words for the word "new." First of all, they meant new in time, like a new day. When we got up this morning, it was a new day. Yesterday was already past. But the other word they had for new was new in quality. Like when we have an old car that, let's just say, it's a 1995 car, and it's real rusty, and let's just say it has over 200,000 miles on it. And then we go and get a different car, and the car that we get is, let's say, a 2015, and it doesn't have very many miles on it, and it's real good shape. And even though it isn't a 2021 car, yet we call that a new car, because it's new in quality. It's a much better car than what we had before. And when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell my life. I received a new nature. I have the very nature of God within me. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away." Now, when we say we have the very nature of God, that doesn't mean that we're perfect and without sin, but we have the nature that God puts within us. And after we receive Christ, a renewing process takes place in our life. and it comes about through knowledge of Christ and His Word. And the better we get to know Christ and His Word, the more we will become like Him. When Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. And when Adam sinned, this image was marred and ruined. We were formed in God's image and deformed from God's image by sin. But through Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, in Ephesians 4, verse 23, we read, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And as we grow in the knowledge of God's Word, we will be transformed by the Spirit of God, and we will become more Christ-like in our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now notice, Paul wrote to the Romans the renewing of their minds. He spoke of the same thing that he spoke to the Ephesians. Don't be conformed to the world like we were before we were saved, but become Christ-like. Our minds must be focused upon Christ, and they must be filled with God's Word. And this will take place as we prayerfully study God's Word. It's interesting to see the contrast between what Paul said to the Colossians and to the Ephesians. In Colossians, what we read, he said, "The old man has been put off, and the new man has been put on." And so they became different people. But notice what he wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now these people at Ephesus, they were believers. Paul was writing to believers. They had become new creatures in Christ when they received Christ as their Savior. But Paul said, your conduct needs to become what your position in Christ is. You're new creatures in Christ. Now act like it. Put away those things that characterized your old life, like lying and anger and stealing and unwholesome language. And even though he doesn't name those, yet those are things that characterize the old life of many before they're saved. And it's like he was saying, instead, be truthful. Get things straightened out that make you angry. Work hard. Use edifying speech. God's desire for all of us is that we be Christ-like in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we read, Romans 8, 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now this refers to our character. When we see Jesus Christ, we shall be like him and have glorified bodies. We will be completely changed. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So Christ is going to come again, and we're going to be changed and made completely different like Christ. But while we wait for his coming, we need to become as much like Christ as it is possible to become in our body of sin. In Colossians 3, verse 11, we read, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Human distinctions and differences should be no barrier to holy living in a local church. In Christ, there are no nationalities like Greek or Jew, and there is no recognition of former religious differences like uncircumcision or circumcision. And there are no cultural differences in Christ like barbarian or Scythian. The Greeks considered all non-Greeks to be barbarians, and the Scythians were the lowest barbarians of all. Yet in Christ, a person's cultural status is of no advantage or disadvantage. There is no economic or political status in Christ. We are not bond or free when we have become saved. And Paul added to the Galatians that there is neither male nor female. And in Colossians 3:11, he says, "But Christ is all and in all." It is wrong to build the fellowship of the church on anything other than Jesus Christ, his person, and his work. Ministries that are built on human distinctions, such as race or color or social standing, are not biblical. And one of the evidences of spiritual growth and the renewing of the mind is this willingness to receive the love of the to receive and love all who sincerely love Christ and seek to glorify him. Again, Paul said to the Colossians, "Christ is all and in all," and the emphasis, and that's the emphasis in this epistle. Because we are complete in Christ, we can look beyond the earthly differences that separate people and enjoy spiritual unity in the Lord. Don't let anything rob us of our oneness in Christ. The man Warren Wiersbe once wrote, "We are alive in Christ, therefore we should seek the heavenly. We are dead in Christ, therefore we should slay the earthly. We can become like Christ, therefore we must strengthen the spiritual and permit the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, making us more into the image of God." Now, when we get to heaven one day, and Jesus is coming again and going to take every believer home to heaven, and when we get to heaven, there are not going to be separations between different groups of people. In heaven, there won't be one group of people that were Americans and another group of people that were Europeans and so forth. And there won't be one group of people that were farmers as Christians and another that were businessmen and so forth. No, we're going to all be the same when we get to heaven. And before we get there, that's how we ought to treat each other now. There should be no distinction about the background of someone. When we're saved, we're all one in Christ. And therefore, there should be a great unity amongst us because we're fellow Christians. Yes, Christ is all and in all, and we need to live that way, that we have everything that we need in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to come to earth, that he might go to the cross and die on the cross for our sin, that made it possible for us to have our sin forgiven and to become your children. And Lord, I pray that as your children, that we might always live as your children, that we might be Christ-like in our lives, and that as we go about our daily duties and in places, that people might see that there's a difference in us from what others are like in the world. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.